Mike DeGubin, hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he, which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 6:33-35. Yes, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one, the only source of life, salvation, and deliverance from the bondage of sin. How wonderful to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into one's life, to know the blessing of being born by the Spirit of God and being delivered from the bondage and the slavery of sin. What a privilege to be a child of God. And we've been discussing and talking about how that God is holy, and because he is holy, he must judge sin. And that all of we human beings were born in sin, separated from God, dead spiritually in trespasses and in sin, as we read in the book of Ephesians. Let me just turn over there a moment and read to you what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus as he was discussing with them what it means to be a child of God. And the book of Ephesians is a wonderful book. I call it the handbook of the believer because it teaches us so many wonderful facts about the new life we have in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, and it's an old word that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. The word conversation, old English word that means our manner of living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was our position, and that is the condition of every unsaved person, every individual that's separated and apart from God. Spiritually, in their spirit, they are dead, dead to God and alive to sin. But when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moves into our spirit to cleanse us, to make us pure, to make us clean, to make us holy, to justify us, as we've been discussing and as we've been studying. He cleanses us within our spirit. He gives us the gift of eternal life. We become a new creature. As John chapter 3 and verse 6 states, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is spirit. It's the spiritual part of us that's made new. So that 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he's talking about in our spirit. That's where this marvelous transaction takes place. And we become a new person in Christ Jesus. Our body still looks the same unless the Spirit of God goes about to clean us up on the outward appearance. How many alcoholics and drunkards have been delivered from the debauchery of sin, and the Holy Spirit of God moving into their life has changed their outward appearance. That is, they still have the same body, but they're cleaned up. and they're walking differently, and they're not living as they were. Like Burke the burglar, a famous burglar in Chicago many, many years ago. Burke the burglar was in jail again. He had been put in on some minor misdemeanor, and he was there in jail. And he was like a caged lion. And D.L. Moody was preaching there in the great city of Chicago and having a great meeting. And the newspaper, one of the newspapers of Chicago, said that they would print his messages word for word. And so one day, one of the trustees came by and threw a newspaper into Burke's cell. Burke picked it up, and the headlines were that jailer gets caught. Burke hated jailers. And he said, boy, if a jailer got caught, I want to read this story. And he sat down and he began to read it. And it was an account of the Philippian jailer that the Apostle Paul had been thrown into his jail. Paul and Silas had been thrown into his jail. And they were in stocks and bonds. And they were in the most secure place of that prison. And in the midnight hour, they began to sing songs of praise to God. And God sent an earthquake that shook up that old jail and loosened their stocks and loosened the bonds that they were in and liberated them. And the jail doors came open. And the jailer had been threatened with his life. If these men got away, he pulled out his sword and was getting ready to fall on the sword. And Paul cried out, sir, do thyself no harm, for we're here. And the jailer came in and fell before them and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They'd witnessed to the jailer. They'd told him about the Lord Jesus and how he could transform his life and make a new person out of him. And they told him how to believe in the Lord Jesus, to accept him as Savior, to be born again. And that night the jailer was saved marvelously, and his whole family accepted the Lord as their Savior. And they took Paul and they washed their wounds and the beating that they'd received. And they had a glorious time there in that old jail. And Burke was reading this account, and as he read about the gospel, he wadded up the newspaper, he threw it down, he said, what kind of garbage is this? And he began to walk back and forth. But he couldn't get his mind off of this jailer getting caught, and so he picked it up and he started reading more about it. And then he'd wad it up and he'd throw it down. Finally, he picked it up a final time, and he read the entire account, and the Holy Spirit of God convicted Burke of his sin, and Burke fell on his face and cried out to the Lord God to have mercy on his wretched soul, to forgive him for his sin, to transform his life, to make a new person out of him. And beloved, God heard his prayer. And the Holy Spirit of God moved into Burke's spirit and cleansed him and made him pure and clean and holy and righteous within his spirit. And Burke became a transformed man. He was changed. And when they would bring his meal, he would thank them for it. And he began to be kind to people around him. And he began to treat the trustees like they'd never been treated before, instead of cursing them and saying vile things to them and treating them harshly. He began to show forth kindness and gentleness. And they went to the main jailer and they said, you've got to look out for Burke. Burke's going to try to escape. I don't know what he's got planned, but he's become a goody-goody. Something's happened to Burke, and he is going to try to escape. But Burke didn't try to escape. The time came that the problem was cleared up and that Burke was not found guilty, and so he was delivered and he was set free again. And so Burke tried to find a job. He went throughout the city, but everybody knew who Burke the burglar was. Nobody would hire him. Nobody would trust him. And so it was a miserable year for Burke, and often he would sleep under a newspaper. He'd crawl up under a building, or he'd get near a place where there was some heat to keep warm. And he lived off of garbage, and he had a miserable year. At the end of the year, the chief of police called Burke in, and Burke figured they had another charge against him. And the chief of police said, "Burke, would you like a job?" And he said, "Oh, man, I've gone all over this place looking for a job. I'd love to have a job." And he said, "Burke, I've been following you. I've had men following you this past year because we figured you had some great heist planned out." And he said, "We found out that there's really been a change, and you are a different man from what you used to be." He said, "I want to hire you." And so he hired him as a policeman on the police force of the Chicago Police Force. And so word got out that Burke had become a different man. And so D.L. Moody was visiting Chicago after one of his meetings, and he came by. He had heard about Burke, and he wanted to meet Burke. And the chief of police said, "Yes, Burke is my most trusted man." He said, "He really is a different person." He said, "I'll take you up to where he is." And so he took Burke up to the top of the jail, and there was a guard standing at the door, and he had the guard to open the door, and he took D.L. Moody in, and there was a room that was filled with tables, and the tables were filled with all kinds of jewelry and gold and silver that had been stolen in robberies. And the chief of police said, "Burke is the only man that I would trust to be in here with all of this wealth. This has come from robberies we've discovered and have returned or been able to get hold of the things that were stolen and brought them back," and said, "Burke is my most trusted man." Beloved, this is the change that God can make in an individual's life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And as God changed Burke's life, you that are listening today, if you are lost and in sin and miserable and wretched and desiring to be changed and transformed, the Holy Spirit of God can work in your life just as He did in Burke if you will put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will cry out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." If you'll invite the Lord Jesus into your life, He will come in. He'll make a new person out of you. He'll deliver you from the bondage of sin, and your life will be anew, completely changed by the Spirit of God. Till next time, goodbye.